I'd like to welcome everybody to this April 10th, 2023, 6 o'clock meeting of the Board of Commissioners. Call this meeting to order. Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's have a roll call.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Here.
Commissioner Aarons?
Here.
Commissioner Mapes?
Here.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Here.
Here.
Commissioner
White?
Here.
Commissioner Coons?
Here.
So let's get a motion for approval of the agenda.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. Looking for a motion to approve the minutes for the March 16th meeting.
So moved.
Second.
We have two motions and a second. Any discussion on that? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. We come to the time of public comment. You'll have 3 minutes. Anybody wishing to speak at the mic, step forward.
My name is Tracy Skinner, and I'm a resident and voter of Emmett County. I understand many people are weary and frustrated and angry about the past 3 years. We've all been impacted, including the employees at your health department. The employees of the health department have families. We are members of your community. We have children in your schools. We pay taxes, and we vote. We work extremely hard during challenging circumstances and are deserving of your respect and your support. Commissioner Ginnup, you had mentioned in January that you felt it was time for change, but from what has been demonstrated, this doesn't feel like change at all. The proposed resolution wasted health department staff time and money spent for legal services to answer a question that has already been addressed. The proposal is attempting to exercise power that is not valid given the codes and laws that exist. Mr. Hankins referenced that as he was trying to share what he has learned about the board role and the powers that it does not hold. The attorney provided strong legal counsel that this resolution was not valid or enforceable. I applaud Commissioner Mapes for asking pivotal questions during last week's Board of Health meeting and getting clarification from the attorney that represents the Board of Health and the Health Department prior to the vote. I appreciate Commissioner LeVanway asking to have the legal clarification in writing in an attempt to reduce unnecessary legal expenses by having this readily available for future commissioners and not trying to go down this path again. Although the very next day, Commissioner Ginnup was on the radio indicating plans to rewrite and submit this resolution again soon. I commend Commissioner Hankins for his explanation of why he was voting against the resolution and attempting to share what he has learned during his time at the Board of Health. And while I do applaud the courageous vote of Commissioner Mapes to vote against this invalid, unenforceable resolution, I am actually surprised that some of the other commissioners could still vote for it after listening to the clear legal counsel from the attorney that stated if everything that was invalidated was struck from the resolution, there would be virtually nothing left. I'm concerned by the language used by Commissioner Ginnup. The comments on local radio seemed condescending and disrespectful of constituents. It was referenced that people are being brainwashed through the public education system. I would imagine that the majority of voters in Emmett County have attended public school, and I wonder if this is how he feels about the voters, or does he see himself only as representing individuals that choose to avoid the public education system and feel similarly to himself? I believe the attorney was clear when he indicated the role of the Board of Health does not include your resolution. I disapprove of this ongoing waste of time and resources that's being perpetuated by Commissioner Ginnup. Please get back to business and support the health department and support moving forward.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Forgive me, I'm not great at public speaking, so. My name is Kirsten Horan, and I own a home in Bear Creek Township. I'd like to take a moment to thank Commissioner Mapes for voting no on the medical freedom resolution. I was thankful for your thoughtful questions, for your patience, and for taking the recommendation of legal counsel seriously. I'm sure that the decision was not an easy one, but it was the right one. I was incredibly embarrassed that the document was being presented by an Emmett County commissioner. Not only was the resolution a farce, but was a strong overreach by a body with no public health education nor background. I've observed several Board of Health meetings and I'm impressed by the number of times the roles of the Board of Health and HDNW staff have been discussed, although it seems to be falling on deaf ears. I've been doing some research, and it appears that under your county's board's own rules of procedure, again, sorry, not great at public speaking, very passionate. Emmett County commissioners are supposed to request an administrator recommendation and legal review of any proposed motions prior to public debate. See paragraph 5.1 in your rules. It is my understanding, after speaking with a few commissioners, this step would have been a good one for the Board of Health to adopt so as to avoid a repeat of what happened last week. I would encourage this commission to stick to the rules of procedure, as without a written motion and thorough staff review, the decision-making process really suffers. Further, you should note that resolutions have little to no legal enforcement and are therefore relatively meaningless. I would also like to address something that honestly really bothers me. I listened to several interviews, the first of which was April 4th, where the commissioner who introduced the resolution was interviewed by Izzy Lineman. About the outcome, as well as feelings about former President Donald Trump being arrested. This commissioner said, and I quote, "The Democrats or the left wing or whatever you want to call them are getting stupider and stupider. I'm incredibly offended, and I think we deserve an apology." It's embarrassing that this type of political grandstanding is taking place. I'd also like to correct a comment that was made in a separate interview that took place on April 5th, stating that the health department has mandated the COVID-19 so-called vaccine. To be clear, this is incorrect. Please make sure that comments you make are accurate before spreading misinformation. There has never been a mandate for the COVID vaccine. And yes, I do call it a vaccine. I'm not sure what the intent of this commissioner was, but it has become pretty clear through interviews that when he told Commissioner Kuntz that the reason he was not reappointed to the Board of Health was that there just needed to be some change, that change was to spread misinformation and continue to scrutinize and tie the hands of public health professionals with a resolution that had no enforceable merit.
Thank you. Who's next? Is there anyone else that would like to step forward? We'll go on to the agenda. Public appearances. We have LENA.
David Emmel from NLEA is here tonight. He will give us an update on what's going on. You brought some of his staff members. I'm sure we'll introduce them also.
Thank you. Chairperson Ginnup, members of the commission, thank you for the opportunity to address the commission again this evening. If some of you were here, some of you were not. Back in November, we presented an overview of the Northern Lakes Economic Alliance provided an update on activities kind of through an October timeframe. So tonight we're here and to provide just kind of an overview of annual report, which when Emmett County re-entered in the Alliance, the Northern Lakes Economic Alliance, in January of 2021, it came with a condition. And we welcomed that. And part of that condition was a reporting process and more transparency about what we do and how we function. But really, it was that reporting process. And so that obligation for us is part of why we're here tonight, to put kind of the cap on 2022 and to be here to answer questions that you may have. Just as a quick introduction, I have members of the NLEA team with us here tonight. Jessica Love, who is our Community Development and Grant Specialist. You can put your hand up. Chris Bauer, our Community and Economic Development Manager. Buck Love, our Business Retention and Growth Specialist. And then Sam Bailey, our Strategic Initiatives Manager. Really kind of round out your economic development team for the county. This team assists communities and businesses with community and economic development. That is our primary function. With a goal of growing the economy and enhancing prosperity and quality of life for all residents within the county and within our service region. We speak in our role in terms of assists and what we do to assist communities and to assist businesses as they grow and thrive and scale. And we assist communities more so in developing and realizing their collective vision of what communities want to be. So the investments that our community partners, as a public-private partnership, community partners from the public sector and organizations from the private sector, we use those resources to do those two things. It's the business support and the economic development function, as well as the community development function for communities to realize their collective vision. When we talk about assisting businesses to grow and thrive, it's really around one kind of very fundamental area, and it's really around family supporting jobs for our citizens and to support a balanced approach to maintaining our economic diversity. We know that in our economy is made up very heavily of seasonal businesses, right? That you know, as the tourism season and recreation season occurs, we see a lot of fluctuations. And so a lot of what we do is try and bring balance to that through building the 12-month economy and the jobs and businesses that support that. In 2022, our first priority was to add capacity to serve Emmett County. So when Emmett County rejoined, that initial investment in our organization was poured into staff. And that is our primary expense of our organization, is staffing and building our staffing model to support the community needs. And so Chris Bauer joined our staff in May of 2022 as a result of that. Our next priority was to reengage business and community leaders through retention visits and relationship building. So as you can imagine, when Emmett County left the Alliance in 2018, and then we had leadership changeover. I came into the organization, my predecessor Andy Hayes left in 2020, I began in October of 2020. And then we had leadership changeover in Emmett County as well, with County Administrator Reeves departing, County Administrator Boyer coming on board. So a lot of new relationships to develop, and those were priorities. The next priority was to build and regrow both public and private sector investment in this public-private partnership. And while we are making progress, we're not moving fast enough on our end of that. So our public investment is where it needs to be. Our private sector investment is lagging. And so we're focused on growing that private sector investment so that we make sure that both public and private investment in this partnership are on par, or our goal is to have private sector investment lead public sector investment, if that makes sense. We've assisted on a number of projects in Emmett County, and those activities are detailed in this report, which was provided in your packet. And we've trying to think if there's anything specific. I think probably the big thing to note is that critical link that we provide between community development and economic development, where community development is much of a public sector function, economic development is very much a private sector function. And so we create that critical link and that bridge between the two. We're here, we're engaged, we're actively supporting community and economic development in Emmett County. So I'd like to thank Administrator Boyer and the county staff for their active engagement over the last 12 months, and look forward to continued high level of engagement. A couple of things of note coming up. We did back in November kind of an overview of the Northern Lakes Economic Alliance. One of the requirements also is part of our agreement, and we've implemented this not just in Emmett County, but in all four of our counties was reporting, but also the education side. And so we're in the process of working with Administrator Boyer and his staff to try and coordinate that economic development kind of 101 training for elected and appointed within county and local government so that we can get everybody kind of on the same page of what is economic development and really help level the playing field or understanding field of what really is economic development and how do we all work collectively. We don't do this on our own. We do this in partnership with business. We do this in partnership and collaboration with our communities, and that's at a city, village, township, and county level. So, and then the other thing is May 22nd, we have coming up our annual economic symposium, which we will see many of you at, so we're looking forward to that. So with that, I would open it up to any questions that you might have in regard to the report from this past year.
Do we have any questions?
Mr. Chair? Yes. I have a couple questions. You have Village of Pelson, then you have Community X. Can you tell us what Community X is?
Where are we at here?
Be table 2B, table 2, grant information from the county. You have two, you have Village Mackinac City, Village Health, including the X, nonprofit X.
So typically when we blind information like this, there's a reason for that, and that is because a community or a business is in an early stage of preparation. And so Administrator Boyer, because he sits on our board, and individuals, Commissioner Ahrens, who also sits on our board, we could provide that information through them.
Is that the same thing with the businesses? You get Move Factor X.
Correct. Actually, Move Factor X is actually the name of the business.
Oh, is
so it is a little bit confusing, yes.
It's just interesting that you blind a community development block grant for a community. I can understand a private business. Mm-hmm.
Can anyone speak to that?
I mean, the application is pending.
So Jessica Love, so with that one in particular, because the application had not been approved yet through the MSF board, we were not able to announce our involvement. So that is why it was application pending for Community X.
Well, while you're here, Jessica,
sure.
Of those four grants, what is the dollar amount?
Which one are we looking at?
Table 2, grant information from the county for Pelston, Mackinac City, Community X, Nonprofit X.
So the Village of Pelston was, I believe, a $30,000 application to Consumers Energy. Okay. The Community X, that has actually been announced since 2022, and I believe it's like 1.3 between the grant and the private investment. And then the Nonprofit X was more of just questions regarding the program.
Okay, how much?
That was for Mackinac City. That is their water tower and pump station.
Okay.
And I want to say that was like 1.2, but I could follow up with the exact numbers.
Substantial dollar.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So you were talking about introduction to training the elected officials. Are we going to see something come in the near future on that?
Yes. That is the plan. We've been working with them to develop a program. I can also tell you, Chris and I and some of our consultants have been working on a project in Pelston, too, for a substantial amount of money to help with some of the PFAS in there. So we're working on a grant, Chris, a little over $6 million. So we're utilizing them through some appropriations through the federal government.
Any other questions? I was just
wondering, I know we met at the Northwest.
Networks Northwest Board
Networks
meeting,
Northwest,
right?
Yeah, and we were chatting afterwards after the meeting, and you were talking to me about your involvement that you have currently going ongoing within the county regarding some housing situations. Could you share where you're at on those, like what you shared with me?
Absolutely. Jessica, you want to jump up here again? I'm going to put the expert in front.
Okay.
So there's a couple different ways in which we help with the housing. So on the brownfield side, I help support TME and the Brownfield Authority. So we are also helping to consult with Julie Lowe with Eagle with some of those projects. And then we also assist some of the developers in their pre-gap funding with just providing some consultation and questions with the experts on gap funding.
So what are those specific projects that involve the ground?
So we recently did the Michigan Maple Block. We had some consulting for, and then out in Bear Creek Township.
That's a big project on Atkins Road, correct?
I'm sorry?
That's the Atkins Road project you're referring to, Bear Creek?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it'd be good for people to hear that, but there's still some stuff, you know, there's stuff ongoing, and there's some sort of prospect possible for the Bear Creek project to be revived.
It's interesting. We were talking about this. We had just done an economic development kind of 101 in Antrim County last week, and the deputy administrator who worked for the NLEA for a number of years, she and I were talking as part of that presentation, said, you know, 5-6 years ago, would any of us have ever thought we'd be talking about any types of economic development incentives for market rate housing? And far and away, nobody would have expected that we would be in that position today in kind of our long history of having to provide some sort of incentives for market rate housing.
Just one other thing. So figure one shows this in 2006, private sector businesses peaked out a little over 1,500, and of course the economic downturn there in 2008, 2009, 2010, and it dropped all the way down to 1,300 in 2015. It's recovering now, just under 1,450. Is that pretty typical of the counties in our region that the businesses are starting to come back? We anticipate
that. Sam, do you want to take that one?
The chart is on the screen.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm Sam Bailey, as Dave mentioned. I'm the Strategic Initiatives Manager with the NLEA, which part of that means I play with numbers all day. So this graph is definitely parallels what we see in the other four counties, not to the same magnitude. Emmett has more private sector businesses than the other three. But most you see that drop coming through 2008, and then the bump in recent years. Most counties have experienced some population growth in recent years. And then especially, during COVID, although we had some business challenges, caused a lot of people to reevaluate their life choices. And we saw a lot of people launch their own businesses during that time frame. So we expect to kind of see a little bit of a rebound, although we have some demographic challenges in the area as all of our counties age. Our counties are rapidly aging across the board. And so we don't necessarily expect to see such steep growth going forward. As the county ages, it tends to be younger or middle-aged people who launch new businesses.
You're talking about aging and the people in the county, right?
Yes. Yeah. So if you look at all of our counties, we're ticking up in the past 10 years. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. I think I may have referenced it. Oh, spot on that paragraph. So if you look in Emmett County in 2021, just over 30% of the population was 60 years of age or older. And that's grown at least 8% in the past 10 years. So our population is getting older, which poses some demographic challenges that lead to economic challenges. But as that age group kind of ticks up, you tend to have less working age people who are launching new businesses.
So the younger generation needs to work harder.
We need to have more of the younger generation.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah, by far and away, if you look at the state of Michigan, and there was a couple of studies published on this in the last year, entrepreneurship really took a big surge during the pandemic, where people, kind of left stable employment or realized that they needed to chart a different course in their life and take some of that into their hands. Well, so while we've seen a pretty marked increase in the number of entrepreneurial ventures, many of those ventures are 1, 2, and 3 person operations. They tend to be very small or what we would refer to as micro enterprise.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we have a guest for the equalization report, right?
Lynette, are you doing this, or Mike's doing this?
I'm doing this.
Oh,
okay. Good evening.
Good evening.
The Equalization Department has prepared the 2023 Equalization Report for your review and approval.
Can you give us your name?
Oh, certainly. My name is Lynette Girard, and I am the Equalization Director of Emmett County.
Thank you.
Even though I have the title of Equalization Director, I have to give credit for this report to Deputy Equalization Director Michael Larson, who is right there. Michael is the one who makes sure the work gets done, and he does a great job. So I thank him for that. Michigan Compiled Law 211-34, the General Property Tax Act, requires that the County Board of Commissioners to meet in April each year and determine by classification the county equalized value and submit a tabulated statement to the State Tax Commission before May 1st. The Act states that the County Board of Commissioners shall examine the assessment rules of the township and city and ascertain whether the real and personal property have been equally and uniformly assessed at true cash value. The Act also requires the County Board of Commissioners to establish and maintain a department to survey assessments and assist the board in the matter of equalization, and may employ in that department technical and clerical personnel which in its judgment are considered necessary. The department shall be under the direct supervision and control of a properly certified director who may designate an employee of the department as his or her deputy. The Act goes on to state that the department may furnish assistance to local assessing officers, including the development and maintenance of accurate property descriptions, the discovery and listing of valuation of property for tax purposes, and the development and use of uniform valuation standards for assessment of property. This report represents the work of the Emmett County Equalization GIS Department and the assessors in our 16 townships and two cities. The Equalization Department has conducted individual studies and analysis of value in all 18 units of government throughout the county in residential, agricultural, commercial, industrial, and personal property. Our department works very close with each assessor to assure that our analyses are accurate and include all relevant data. The valuation conclusions of these studies determine the overall level of assessment by classification for all property in Emmett County. The assessors use the ratios established by the Equalization Department to adjust assessed values, which ultimately affect every taxpayer in the county. The County Board of Commissioners' approval of this report relies on the work performed by the Equalization Department. The official report requested to be approved by the Board of Commissioners and submitted to the state is the Form 4024, which is in your packet. That's the actual report that's going to be submitted to the state. This form represents the assessments as finalized by the Board of Reviews and submitted by the certified assessor for each of the 18 units in Emmett County's valuation. Also included in this report are statistics compiled by the Equalization Department used to comply with other reports throughout the year. The 2023 assessed value of Emmett County is $5,435,491.50. This is an increase of 15.82% from last year. This is the largest increase, as far as I know, we have ever seen. The 2023 taxable value of the county is 3,000,000 $3,474,577,016. This represents an 8.19 increase. This is not the largest increase in taxable value we have ever seen, but it is the largest increase since in the last 22 years. The inflation rate for the state of Michigan this year is 7.9%. Due to Proposal A, the Consumer Price Index applied to taxable value, with the exception of transfers and new construction, cannot exceed 5%. What this means is the taxable value on your property tax bill is going to increase 5% unless you recently purchased the property and added new construction. In that case, it will be more. 66% of all property taxes collected in Emmett County go to education. A lot of people don't know that. They think when they go to their local treasurer or the county treasurer and pay their property tax bill that we're getting all the money. Well, we're not. 66% of that goes to education. 14% to townships and cities, and 14% to county operating, 5% to senior and ambulance, and 1% to authorities. 86% of property value in Emmett County is classified residential, 9% commercial, 1.5% agricultural, 0.5% industrial, and 3% personal. The report also includes a breakdown of valuation change by classification for equalization and taxable value, a history of Emmett County taxable and equalized value, valuation for each of the 5 school districts in the county, and a valuation breakdown of homestead, non-homestead, an explanation of Proposal A, and information for taxpayers regarding assessments and how to appeal. So with that, I open it up for any questions.
Do we have any questions?
Oh.
When was the last time the basic tax rate of Emmett County was raised?
The basic tax rate?
Yeah.
Which is the millage rate you're talking about?
Basic tax millage.
Yeah. I've been here for 25 years, and as far as I know, and I'd really have to check, I don't think it has been raised.
I know it's been a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that I'm asking this question for the benefit of the audience.
Okay, yeah. It's like I said.
Your Board of Commissioners has not raised the basic tax rate of this county
in
23-plus years. Okay? So if you think that your taxes are going up, they're going up because the valuation of your property is going up. If you're not moving, that's not necessarily a bad thing. So I just want to keep that clear because there's a lot of confusion about that.
Yeah, there is. There is. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Good job. Thank you. Back to the administrators.
First off, I'd like to thank Mike Larson and Lynette for putting this together. Mike's been a little bit short on staff this year, so I appreciate the work that you guys have done to put this together. It's a very good report. On my side of it, I just will go over a couple of highlights for you. My written report is in there. One of the things that just came in, Ryan sent me a note that they had their egg scramble this weekend. They had over 250 kids collect 4,000 eggs in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes. It was taken, so that was great to see. They had a good program out at Dark Sky Park, the Michigan Aurora Chasers, had a workshop for over 120 people. Unfortunately, they were a day too early or a day too late. They just missed, I think, the Thursday night, and they were there Friday, so they missed the Northern Lights. Season hiring is going on right now. Out of our 22 positions, we have 19 filled, so we're still looking for some summer help. planning and zoning. We're going to have a lot of that tonight from Tammy. She's got a lot of updates for us tonight, so I won't go through that update on there. But I will tell you that the both Parks and Recreation and the Planning Commission, the Planning Department, with Tammy's help, have put our trust fund grant in, and they also have our master plan approved by the DNR. The trust fund grant was for the cottages at Petosegan. So thank them for both of those and getting that work completed and the master plan approved. So we can, for the next 5 years, apply for more trust fund and DNR grants. At the airport, it's a moving target out there. SkyWest is looking again to change their flights. They're now looking at bringing in some larger jets, less flights, but larger jets, which means our capacity at the airport will stay the same. The number of people coming in and out will stay the same. But when we go to larger airplanes, we do have to make some safety changes at the airport. So we're working with FAA right now and the TSA to address those. It's not a long-term. Actually, I think that SkyWest is looking to fly smaller planes in the future with more of them. They're easier to get pilots and more reliable because they can find pilots. The biggest problem we have right now at the airport and in airports around is the pilot shortage. They did do their training at the airport. It's a live burn. We only use water. We don't use any chemicals when we do that training. So that exercise, will be later this month. So that's coming up later this month. If you'd like to see if we can get you the dates, you can actually watch the training out there. You will see we have some proposals on the street now, right now, for snow blowing services for next year. Next week you'll see one of our ambulance remounts come forward. We have one of our chest compression systems for our EMS is coming up next week. And for the folks that sit on the community correction board, you'll see a new face in there. We've hired a new director for that, Nicole Scott. Nicole comes from us with a background in community corrections. She was the director for the North Michigan Community Correction, which was six different communities. So she has come on board with us. She's already got the grant ready. You'll see the grant at the next meeting to be submitted. We welcome her here. That's my update for tonight.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. And we have no unfinished business. Come to new business. Looks like the fairgrounds of electronics.
We'll start off with the Dark Sky Proclamation first.
Okay.
Should be number one on the list.
Number two. So we can start off with that if you have a person to number one.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Mine says.
Oh, I'm looking at online here. And here it's different. On the right,
we'll follow your whatever you have.
All right. Fairgrounds.
Fairground electronic sign, as you all know, that electronic sign has been out since about 2021. There is no replacement parts for the sign that we currently have. We went out for a request for a proposal for a new sign. We are keeping the existing sign there. We're replacing all the electronic equipment in there. We budgeted $35,000 for this project. It came in at $23,000, so there's some savings from what we originally proposed. All the information is in there. We make a recommendation for WatchFire electronic message.
So we're looking for a motion.
I'll move.
Go ahead.
I move that the purchase and installation of the 16-millimeter WatchFire electronic message center provided by Signorama be approved in the amount of $23,244.49. And authorize the county administrator to sign the purchase order and the required documents.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have discussion?
Chair, I have a question. How old was our system we had before?
They typically last about 10 to 12 years. That was right in the ballpark.
Okay.
Chair, I'd like to ask a question, too. I noticed that our old sign is a watch fire. And we're unable to get parts for it anymore, but we're getting another watch fire. Is that
the technology has changed from the original one, okay. So they continue to step up. If you look at that, you see 16 millimeters going all the way down to 8.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's like our new refrigerators we buy. They last about 10 years, and that seems what electronics last. We hope we get more out of it.
I assume that was the case.
Yes, and one of the things we talked about, we'll buy, so those signs are individual panels. They're about 12 by 12 inch panels, and we'll have some replacements available. So hopefully in 10 years, if we do have problems, we'll have some replacements available.
Do we have any other questions or discussion? Let's have roll call.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Coates?
Yes.
Commissioner Wolfbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mays?
Yes.
Commissioner Gittle?
Yes.
Commissioner Gethouse?
Yes.
Motion carries. Now we'll do the Dark Sky Park.
Thank you. I'm not sure why we're showing two different ones, but the Dark Sky Park, this is a, we have a resolution or proclamation for the Dark Sky Park. We're one of 10 Dark Sky Parks in Michigan. This comes every year before us, and the proclamation is in the report, so we're looking for acceptance of the proclamation.
Do we have a
motion to accept?
Yes.
So moved. Support.
We have a motion and support to accept. Do you want it read?
It's in the report.
It's in the report. Okay. So we're up to county child care.
Need a vote.
Oh, we have a vote. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Lofton?
No.
Commissioner Coates?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Mays?
Yes.
Motion carries. Now we're at County Child Care.
This has already been approved. This is one of those good ones where we have the family court obtain a grant, a basic grant from the child care fund. The original grant was $15,000, and that has been upped to $56,275 for the remainder of the year. So it was an increase of funding that's available. So Emmett County is getting more money to provide the services to the courts.
So we need a motion.
I make that motion. I move that the board approve the increase to the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services County Child Care Grant from $15,000 to $56,520 and authorize the board chair to sign the attached document on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners.
Second that motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have a roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofton?
Yes.
Commissioner Coates?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Motion carries. Renewal for contract on MDOT?
Yes, this is a partnership with MDOT for a weather service station at Pelson Airport. What this is FAA provides us equipment at the airport for weather services that we can call out to airports that are coming in and prepare for us. You can see the cost is not very high on this. It's $103 a quarter. This is something that we need to have at the airport, and I'm recommending that we move forward with our partnership.
Could we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the contract between the County of Emmett and the Michigan Department of Transportation regarding weather briefing services at the Pelston Regional Airport as attached and authorize county administrators to sign the same.
We have a motion. Looking for a second.
Second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Let's have a roll call.
Commissioner Lofton?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Coates?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Motion carries. Looks like the county is going to buy some more vehicles.
Yes, the Construction Resource Department maintains 10 vehicles within their fleet to do all the inspections. We had budgeted for 4 replacement vehicles this year. We're replacing our Jeep Patriots, which they no longer make, and we're looking at the Chevy Equinox, which is actually a little bit less money than, again, that we had projected in our budget. So the funding is available to replace the 4 vehicles out. It keeps our fleet more current, and the vehicles that are being taken out of the system will go through the process that we have to sell the vehicles that we currently have.
Okay, we're looking for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move the board approve the purchase of 4 Chevrolet Equinox in the amount of $107,228 and authorize the county administrator to sign all the required documents.
Second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Chair, I have a question for administrator. Release other vehicles. Why not lease?
When we are still leasing some of our fleet right now. As funding is available, it's at times makes more sense for us to purchase, especially these lower price vehicles. We have the funding. We've had the funding set aside in Construction Resource. They have their own funding source for these vehicles, so it makes sense to purchase these vehicles. We went into the lease a number of years ago when the economy turned down, and that was the only way we could replace vehicles was leasing. Yeah. But if you lease a vehicle, at the end of the day, we have nothing at the end of the day. There is some residual in there. So where we can get away from leasing, that's the direction that we're going.
Okay.
Good question. Any other questions or discussion? Let's have roll call.
Commissioner Ahrens.
Yes.
Commissioner Coates?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnock?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Mays?
Yes.
Motion carries. I have a little problem with my computer, sorry. Emmett County Retirement Plan.
We have 2 programs right now set up for employees. As you can see, the first one is the pension plan and trust. That's where the county puts 8% in for employees. And the other one is a 457 deferred program where employees can invest into their own pre-tax dollar funds. It's their money. Both of these systems have been around for a number of years. We feel it's time to evaluate these systems as things have changed with the IRS over a number of years. We were doing an evaluation to make sure that we're compliant with both of these funds, and also a way for us to improve the benefits that we're providing to the employees. We need to review that structure. There's 3 firms that were interviewed by staff. All of them do the similar type of work. They went with the low bid, and that would be our recommendation for you. They will come in and evaluate this and make sure that we're compliant with all state, federal, and IRS rules and procedures.
Okay, could we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll make the motion. I move to approve the agreement with Van Overbeek and Excel and Kennedy, AC, the legal analysis of Emmett County's retirement plans as proposed, and authorize the county administrator to sign the necessary document on behalf of the Board of Commissioners.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnock?
Yes.
Commissioner May?
Yes.
Commissioner Coates?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Motion carries. Stone Garden Grant.
This is a grant that the Sheriff Department gets each year through FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Association. This money comes in and allows us to offset costs of overtime, also equipment and operations for the Sheriff's Department. The grant this year is $92,138. You'll see it says 2022. It's actually funding for 2023. They're a year behind in the process, so they call it 2022 because of the way their budget year falls. But $92,138 will come to the county and help the sheriff reimburse its expenses.
Okay, looking for a motion.
I will, Chair. I move the board accept the 2022 Operation Stowgarden grant award in the amount of $92,138 and authorize the county administrator to sign all required documents.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Let's have roll call.
Commissioner Loughbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Coops?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Aaron?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Motion carries. So we have a rezoning.
I'll ask Tammy Dornenberg to come up, our planning director, and she can go through the next four proposals that we have on real briefly for you.
Thank you, Commissioners. Tammy Dornenberg, Emmett County Planning and Zoning Director. That first item for zoning is a rezoning request by a private property owner, David Hoffman. There was a map in the packet provided to you. The Planning Commission has recommended approval unanimously, and Bear Creek Township also recommended approval of the rezoning. It's a property that's adjacent to other industrially zoned property, and the property owner intends to use it for storage uses, although when you review a rezoning request, you have to look at all the uses that are allowable within that zoning district, and our Planning Commission did consider that and still recommended approval of this rezoning request.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve Planning and Zoning Item 22-05, David Hoffman Rezoning, Section 25, Bear Creek Township from FF1 Farm and Forest to I-1 Light Industrial Tax Parcel 2401-1625-100-010 because the standards of the zoning ordinance for rezoning have been met, including the location of the property and the deep setback is adjacent to industrially zoned property. This area has been identified for a light industrial use by Bear Creek Township during a public hearing, and uses in the area are consistent with the rezoning request. Bear Creek Township has recommended approval, and the County Planning Commission has recommended the following required public hearing and also recommended approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, let's have a roll call.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Coombs?
Yes.
Commissioner Loughbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Motion carries. Let's go on to the next one, Tammy.
Thank you. In 2020, the Emmett County Board of Commissioners approved the Emmett County Master Plan. It's a five-year plan that's required by the Michigan Planning Enabling Act. After completion of that master plan, the department consulted with our planning consultant, Beckin and Rader, and asked them to review our master plan and compare it to our zoning ordinance and make recommendations on changes that could be made to align the master plan with, or the zoning ordinance with the master plan. We also hired Assistant Planning Director Hillary Taylor, who worked on proposed zoning ordinance amendments for over a year, and I think that's reflected in the meeting minutes that were provided to you, that the Planning Commission has been reviewing these proposed changes for over a year for the next five items on the agenda. So the first one is Article 2. These are definitions. We propose to update definitions, bring them into current times, and then also we had our legal counsel review all of these proposals as well. So they've been vetted by the Planning Commission. We did send them out to all the townships that have county zoning in December and invited them to participate in the public review process that began in February. And March this year, our Planning Commission unanimously recommended approval of Article 2 definitions, replace and repeal.
Thank you, Tammy. We have a motion.
I'd like to make that motion. To approve PP Text 2203, Emmett County Zoning Ordinance Text Amendment, to repeal and replace Article 18 and change all specific district standards to conform with amendment to Article 18, including changes to Articles 4, 5, 6. Yeah. Wrong one. Okay, which one are we on?
Sorry,
O2.
I blew Dave's. Okay, I'm on it. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
To approve PP Text 2202, Zoning Ordinance Text Amendment, to repeal and replace Article 2, as proposed on the Article 2 draft dated April 10th, 2023, based on the facts presented in this case and the facts presented during the Planning Commission meetings and public hearings. Because the text is supported by the Emmett County Master Plan and will maintain a current and updated zoning ordinance, the text amendment was recommended for approval by the Emmett County Planning Commission.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yes, I have a question. Is this the one that affects lighting requirements and signs and American flags?
There has been no change to the lighting standards. The flag standards have not changed. Sign definitions have not changed at all in this proposal.
Okay. Chairman, I would like to make a few comments about some of these. They sound good up front, but when you get into them, they are very restrictive for the Emmett County citizens. I've had some personal experience with some of them on the lighting. Years ago, before I retired, I worked for Cisco Corporation, and we moved to a new industrial park east of Melanson at Keystone Park. It's strictly industrial. There's no homes nearby. And as soon as we started there, all the employees started complaining about lack of lighting. A lot of the Cisco work was done between 3 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock when it was really dark, and we couldn't really see what we were doing. And it got so bad that the supervisor called us in for an emergency meeting one morning and said that he had got all the lighting he could from Emmett County, and they would not issue any more lighting, and we would have to deal with a bad situation, and it's still that way. And I don't feel like we should be limiting lighting in the industrial park. I know there's some talk about light pollution, but I don't really buy that. You have to be able to see what you're doing to work safely. Also, I found out from personal experience on American flags that that's very restrictive. And the way I found that out is my son was working for a summer business, and he worked there for 3 summers before he went into the Air Force, and he got to know the owner really well, and they became good friends. They liked each other. And he confided in my son one day that he would have to take down a flag. He'd like to have 4 flags in his yard, 2 on the south side of his driveway and 2 on the north side. Not real big flags, smaller than this. But he said that he got in trouble with Emmett County because they came and harassed him. They said, you have to take down 1 flag. You only allow 3 flags. I think that's, I just can't believe that we want to pay somebody 20-something hours an hour to go out and hassle the small business. Then a lot of these things are restrictive in other ways. They outlaw mobile homes as accessory buildings. They outlaw small campers and trailers in the front yard. I noticed one outlaws solar collectors near the airport approach zones. I have flown into both Phoenix and Tucson airports. Almost every house there has solar collectors on it, thousands and thousands of homes, and the pilots didn't seem to have any trouble finding the runway. I find a lot of these things are just too restrictive.
Thank you. Any other discussion or comments? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Hanna?
Yes.
Commissioner Walker?
No.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Mayes?
Yes.
Motion carries. The next one, number three.
Article 18 is the land use matrix. The main change on this one is we consolidated two zoning districts, the industrial one and industrial two, into one industrial zone. We've added several uses to several zoning districts where they weren't previously allowed, such as single family dwellings are now allowed in commercial zones as well as residential zones. We've added duplexes as a use by right, and then also triplexes and quadplexes in several zoning districts, and made some pretty major changes to the allowable uses, allowing uses that can be approved administratively rather than going through the Planning Commission process where it made sense. And this was approved by the Planning Commission as well as the townships that recommended. So the proposal is to amend and replace, repeal and replace Article 18.
I'd like to make that motion, Chair, and redeem myself on the last one. PP Text 2203, Public Hearing, Zoning Ordinance Text Amendment. Consider repealing and replacing Article 18 Land Use Matrix. Combine industrial zones, consolidate uses, add uses to zoning districts, and modify permitted and special land use categories. Change all specific district standards to conform with amendment to Article 18, including changes to Articles 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and combine Articles 14 and 15. Emmett County Planning Commission recommend approval following public meetings and two public hearings. All townships with county zoning were notified with copies of the proposal in December of 2022. Four townships recommended approval: Bear Creek, Redmond, Bliss, and Springfield. Did I miss my motion? I did, didn't I?
I
did. To approve PP Text 2203, Emmett County Zoning Ordinance, Text Amendment to repeal and replace Article 18, change all specific district standards to conform with amendment to Article 18, including changes to Articles 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and combine Articles 14 and 15, as proposed on draft dated 2/14/23, based on facts presented in this case and the facts presented during the Planning Commission meetings and public hearings. Because the text is supported by the Emmett County Master Plan by updating the zoning ordinance of the Emmett County Planning Commission following two public hearings, has recommended approval.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? The wording is so close.
Very close.
We thought you were on.
Well, there's one that says motion, though. Hey, that's the one you probably should read.
Yeah. Let's have a roll call.
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnell?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Coots?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner
Wampel? No.
Motion carries. Going to number four.
This is Article 19. So in the draft that was on in the we haven't yet met at the Planning Commission level and solidified the request. So this is dated 6/2023. The only thing that was supposed to be changed from the one that was online in this draft is the number in the table for density in multiple family dwellings. So on the second page, on the online version, it indicated public sewer density in units per acre at 11, and then there was in parentheses it said, or a greater number. And the Planning Commission asked us to go back to those townships that actually have sewer and water and ask for their input. Bear Creek Township and Littlefield Township both recommended 12 as the number of units per acre because they are the ones that are impacted. So this draft is the one that was proposed to be recommended by the Planning Commission. There were just a few minor changes to this Article 19, one being increasing the density, changing the table so that the density applies to all sizes of dwellings to try to increase the number of dwelling units that are allowable within the multiple family zoning district. So that is the proposal to repeal and replace, again, Article 19, the scheduled regulations and the zoning ordinance.
Would you like to try again?
No, I'm going to let somebody else.
I'll vote to approve PP Text 22-04, Emmett County zoning ordinance text amendment to repeal and replace Article 19, bringing single-family residential zoning district update schedule of regulations table, limiting certain residential dwelling unit standards, amend density table for general residential zoning district, change all specific district standards to conform with amendment to Article 19, including this Articles 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and combine Articles 14 and 15 as proposed on draft dated April 6, 2023, based on the facts presented in this case and the facts presented during the Planning Commission meetings and public hearings, because the text is supported by the Emmett Master Plan to update and maintain the zoning rules.
Thank you. We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Let's have a roll call.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofholm?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Motion carries. Round number five.
Oh, this is Article 22, again, repeal and replace. There was a summary that indicated to you what was proposed to be changed. Pretty minor changes to this article, moving things around and trying to make it more streamlined so that people can find things easier. One of the main changes here is we did have recreational vehicles. There were standards in Article 22 and Article 26, and we removed them from one article so they're not duplicative, and in some cases they were not in line with each other. So that was the main change for Article 22.
Okay, we need a motion.
I'll make that motion, Chair. Draft motion to approve PP Text 22-05 Emmett County Zoning Ordinance Text Amendment to repeal and replace Article 22 as proposed on draft dated 4-10-2023 based on the facts presented in this case and the facts presented during the Planning Commission meetings and public hearings, because the text is supported by the Emmett County Master Plan, will maintain a current and updated zoning ordinance, and the Emmett County Planning Commission has recommended approval.
We have a motion. We need a second.
A second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have a roll call.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofholm?
No.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
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 Motion carries. Up to number six.
Thank you. This is Article 26, Supplemental Regulations. So these are the additional standards that special uses have to meet. We cross-referenced in Article 18 those supplemental standards in Article 26, so now people can actually find the standards that go with those special uses. These, again, were reviewed and modified to meet our current times, and we feel that it's a good amendment to clarify and make sure that we're in line with our master plan.
Thank you. Could we have a motion?
My turn. To approve PP Text 22-06, Emmett County Zoning Ordinance Text Amendment to repeal and replace Article 26 as proposed on draft dated 2-9-2023. Based on the facts presented in this case and the facts presented during the Planning Commission meetings and public hearings, because the text is supported by the Emmett County Master Plan to maintain a current and updated zoning ordinance, the Emmett County Planning Commission, following public hearings, has recommended approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, let's have roll call.
Yes.
Commissioner
Mapes? Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofholm?
No.
Commissioner
Coons? Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank you, Tammy. Any communications?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I have a communication. Mr. Chairman, in September of 2021, the Board of Health passed a motion to rescind a public health order requiring masking in schools that had been put in place by then Health Officer Lisa Peacock. They took this action against the advice of legal counsel, who had informed them prior to the vote that they did not have the authority to do so, that under Michigan Public Health Code, the power to issue or rescind a public health code order resides solely with the health officer, and that their motion would change nothing. That action and the backlash from it set in motion a series of events that included, among other things, the resignation of two Emmett County representatives to the Board of Health and the turnover of several key health department employees. I was appointed to the Board of Health during that period, October of 2021. At the time of my appointment, the antagonism by several Board of Health members toward the health department and its mission was palpable. At the first meeting I attended in November of 2021, there was an attempt to remove the Board of Health chairperson from her position and terminate contracts with the health officer, medical director, and legal counsel. Outside legal counsel was contracted for that meeting, and we were advised that terminating a health officer for doing her job as legally prescribed during a pandemic would lead to significant legal liability for the Board of Health, our counties, and for us personally. We managed to block those actions on votes of 4-4 and 5-3. The hostility from a majority of Board of Health members toward the health department staff continued in 2022, and a few months later, the health officer resigned. To avoid potential legal action, the Board of Health approved a severance package that cost the health department approximately $260,000. Near the end of this process, the last number that I heard that the health department had spent on legal fees to defend itself from these and other actions by the Board of Health was approximately $70,000. The final number would have been higher. Factoring in staff time spent on these issues, loss of productivity and employee turnover, I'm sure the end cost to help the health department as a result of Board of Health actions during that time approached $400,000. I always found it ironic that Board of Health members would commonly express concern over the large amount of spent on legal fees during that process, but they'd continue to take actions that required more money to be spent on legal fees, even when counseled by attorneys to stop. The most recent attempt by some on the Board of Health to pass a resolution with no practical effect has echoes of those actions from the past, and it concerns me on several levels. The first concern I have is the willingness of several Board of Health members to take action contrary to advice provided at the time by contracted professional legal counsel, and without taking the time to request, read, and consider a written legal opinion. That sort of folly is expensive, as we learned from the Board of Health actions from 21 and 22. In Emmett County, we've adopted rules and procedures to prevent those sorts of mistakes. These rules have served us and our constituents well, and they've gone a long way to ensure that we have an efficient and well-functioning county government. It would be prudent for Emmett County Commissioners on the Board of Health to keep those procedures in mind when conducting business on that board as well. For example, Emmett County Board of Commission Rules of Procedure for the Conduct of Meetings, Section 5.1, states in part, all agenda items requiring a vote of the board will be supported by civil counsel legal review and a proposed written motion for consideration by the board. Your unilateral action, Mr. Chairman, taken without consulting the Emmett County Board of Commissioners and without submitting your proposal to legal review was reckless. It could have been very costly and put Emmett County at risk. When questioned by the Board of Health chair at the April 4th meeting about the origin of the proposed resolution and whether it had been subject to legal review, Mr. Ginnup, you indicated that it had been prepared by, quote, an attorney friend of mine, or a friend of mine who's an attorney. That information contradicts a March 31st News Review article naming you, Rich Ginnup, as the author of the resolution. Later, during the second public comment period at the April 4 Board of Health meeting, it seemed that the resolution had been prepared by someone who admitted to never having been a licensed attorney in the state of Michigan, but who claimed to have once practiced law in a different state. It seems clear that whoever authored the resolution was aware that it was on dubious legal ground, since he or she included the following disclaimer. If any phrase or portion of this resolution is ever declared unlawful by a court or legislature having the proper authority to do so, it shall be struck, and the remainder of the resolution shall continue in force and effect. I'm further concerned, Mr. Ginnup, by your cavalier dismissal of the legal assessment provided by the Board of Health's contracted attorney in an April 5th interview on WMKT, where you seem to favor the opinion of your, quote, attorney friend, and parroted her public comment given near the end of the April 4th meeting. This from a person who is not a licensed attorney, had not been contracted by the Board of Health, and had no professional obligation to provide counsel that's in the best interest of the Board of Health. Another serious concern I have is the negative impact that antagonistic actions from the Board of Health directed toward health department staff, like the recent proposed resolution, have on the dedicated civil servants at the health department. Here's how one resident who attended the March meeting described the atmosphere. The meetings, rather than being mutually supportive exchanges of information, are more similar to a criminal trial. The Board of Health asks pointed gotcha questions on a range of subjects, and the staff is constantly on the defensive. It's confrontational and demoralizing, and I truly don't know how the staff hold up so well for these marathon 4-hour-plus meetings. The pandemic is on its way out. The difficult, at times intolerable, conditions that it caused for all of us are over. Now's the time for healing for our communities, building relationships, and strengthening public institutions. The Board of Health should be on the forefront of these efforts. There's been plenty of lip service paid lately on the Board of Health to both Christianity and saving taxpayer dollars. If, Mr. Chairman, as a representative of the Board of Health, you wish to serve in a way that is consistent with the teachings of Christ and also encourage fiscal responsibility, then please begin with a sense of humility. Take the time to get to know the health department, its staff, and its programs. You'll come to see the many high-quality services it provides across northern Michigan. You'll learn how they're able to leverage grant funding and partnerships to make a difference in thousands of lives across our region at a cost to local taxpayers of pennies on the dollar. You'll meet many dedicated professional public servants, brilliant people who make a difference every day with their commitment to service and excellence. Of course, there's a place for political activism, and if, as a citizen and elected official, after taking the time to learn about the provisions of the state health code, you find yourself in opposition, then work at the state level to get them changed. But as a member of the Board of Health, please focus on the mission of the health department as stated and agreed to by the member counties, to serve our entire community and to achieve health equity by promoting well-being, preventing disease, and protecting the environment through partnerships, innovation, and excellence in public health practice. I encourage you to take careful, thoughtful, and measured steps that serve to unite rather than divide our communities, actions that demonstrate to staff that they're valued and respected, and that lead to efficient government and excellent services. This is no time to come out with guns blazing, shooting first and asking questions later. Resolutions that have no material effect are inefficient, wasteful, and divisive. Please refrain from introducing any more of them. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Any other communication?
Mr. Chairman, I have some correspondence I would like to share.
Yes, go ahead.
I wrote this several weeks ago. Editor, Dr. Fauci was by far the highest paid employee of our government and NIAID director. His main job was to keep infectious diseases out of the United States. Not only did he fail, but it is now coming out that he actually caused the United States to become infected with the coronavirus with his crazy gain-of-function experiments. Gain-of-function is a term used to describe taking a very bad disease and making it even more deadly. Dr. Fauci has long advocated for this in the United States. He has gone on the record as saying the benefits are worth the risk. He was wrong about many things. When I asked a retired Florida State policewoman why the government would play around with gain-of-function, she thought it was probably intended for military use. When Congress learned about this, they ruled it was much too dangerous and banned it from the United States. Dr. Fauci did not take no for an answer. He moved it to China and funneled millions of U.S. taxpayers' dollars to the Wuhan lab through a third party named EcoHealth. It is my opinion that Dr. Fauci will be found guilty of lying to Congress under oath to cover up his mistakes. He approved thousands of dollars in grants to doctors who pushed his idea that COVID-19 came from an animal. Doctors who thought it came out of a Wuhan lab were blacklisted and received no grants. They were also censored. Dr. Fauci declared, "I am science." I see him as a very arrogant elitist. President Trump made a big mistake in listening to him and shutting down the United States. Vaccine injuries and deaths have largely been hidden from the public. Our government has classified the origins of COVID-19 Why? Was the CIA involved? They have much to hide. Chuck Laufbaum, Pelston. This was written as an opinion letter to the editor of the Harvard Light newspaper. He has refused the letter. He said it's not local news, and he does not want the readers to read it. And I would like to have it attached to our minutes here tonight. Thank you.
Quick question. Is there any citations for the information that's provided in that letter as far as the source and where they come from and the authors of the sources?
I'm not sure.
Thank you.
Specifically, you're getting that.
I'm wondering if there's any citations for the claims that are presented in the letter regarding science and all the various claims about things that have happened.
In my letter?
I think you just read a letter.
Yes.
From a constituent.
All this was taken from reports on TV.
Any particular specific reports? Usually when we cite information, we give some sort of specific citation of where that information comes from.
No, there's no one source. It's from several months of accumulated information.
You expect us to take that seriously without citations?
Well, it's my opinion. I submitted it.
It was more than your opinion. You stated several things that you claimed to be facts there, and you offered no citation for them.
Well, I think my opinion letter stands on its own.
I thought that was a constituent opinion letter. I was under the impression that you did not write that.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
Any other communication? So let's go forward with public comment. Anybody wishing to speak, you have 3 minutes. Go ahead, come forward.
Chair, are we going to do our committee reports?
Next time.
Next time. Okay.
Yeah. John Swartout, Emmett County. I didn't plan to make a comment tonight, but I was shocked by the comments made by some other people, so I want to express support for the Emmett County Board of Commissioners representation on the Board of Health, the Health Department of Northwest Michigan. If the only role of the Health Board were to rubber stamp whatever the department wants to do, why would there even be such a board? The entire public health establishment of the United States broke down and ran amok in response to the COVID pandemic. Science, common sense, the First Amendment, and the first two rules of medicine went out the window. A treatment was rushed to market in 9 months that all the experts said should take 4 to 15 years to develop to be sure it is safe and effective. The definition of vaccine was changed so this radical new treatment could be called a vaccine. There is no way to know if it's safe and effective, at least in the long term, in such a short time. And now the evidence is accumulating that if the same standards applied to previous vaccines were applied to the COVID vaccines, they would be pulled from the market. The second rule of medicine, get a second opinion. Former CDC Director Robert Redfield testified in Congress that he was marginalized from the response team because Fauci wanted one narrative to be advanced and no competing views were tolerated. That's not science. Before the jabs, there was no approved early treatment protocol. You went to the hospital or clinic with COVID and you were told to go home until you couldn't breathe, then come back, we'll put you on a respirator and give you a ventilator and give you remdesivir for 9 days, which is usually enough to kill you, and then the hospital would collect their $39,000 bonus. And I'm just scratching the surface. The local health department is the last line of defense when the federal and state governments turn against the people. And when that happens, the board should hold the line against tyranny.
Thank you very much. Anybody else wishing to speak? Come forward.
Hi, my name is Debbie Esposito from Emmett County. And again, I also did not plan to speak tonight, but I wanted to thank Commissioner Koontz for his comments earlier about that meeting in for the Board of Health. I went to that meeting and I was appalled at how you guys hadn't at all looked at the legal advice that said that you couldn't do what you, I spent my day, I took time off of work. You have no idea how much time other people put into this thing that you guys wouldn't have even had a meeting for if you had just looked at what the lawyer said. I was so frustrated. I wrote an email to every single one of you that night, and I, in the future, would really appreciate if you listened and you heard the facts before, you held a meeting, and got everybody all riled up for nothing. So again, Commissioner Kutz, I appreciate your looking into that. Oh, E-S-P-O-S-I-T-O.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Tracy Skinner, voter in Emmett County. You know, it's really a shame. First of all, I appreciate the comments and the summary about the history of what's gone on, but it's really a shame that there's not a provision that if you act outside the legal advice that you personally bear some of the costs for this rather than having this be perpetuated and borne by the taxpayers. I find it very frustrating that the legal advice that has been paid for to research and provide guidance that is knowledgeable about the public health codes and laws that have been developed over 100 years of learning and experience and research is out the window based on what appears to be personal beliefs. To me, that's reckless waste of taxpayer money, and I would like to see that stopped.
Thank you. Who's next?
I'm Pat Fralick, and I'm also a voter in Emmett County, and I also worked at the health department for 40-plus years. And it's so discouraging to me to see so much wasted energy. Hundreds of families get visits from nurses and social workers every year at the health department to prevent child abuse, to help parents with kids that aren't developing appropriately, to get them connected to resources. We work with kids with cancer, with diabetes, with heart defects. We help get them to Sparrow Hospital or U of M or wherever they need to go. Hundreds of children are immunized if that's what the parents want. Thousands of people get dental care. Before our dental clinics, kids used to come in with rotten teeth. Pediatricians would call our office saying, can't you help these kids? I can give them antibiotics, but in 10 days, their teeth are rotten. Do something. Please help them. All of you go to historic festivals and festivals all over the north, and you don't have to worry about the food you eat because the health department ensures that that food is safe. Yet none of that outstanding work that is done every day at the health department is your focus. And that is the work of the health department, is to keep our communities safe. That's our charge. And we take it seriously. Thank you for recognizing that, Commissioner.
Thank you. Thank you. Who's next? Come on up, Carla.
Mary Lieberman, City of Petoskey. I also want to thank Commissioner Kuntz. You did a remarkable job. I understand that several of you are new to the board and maybe needed a little bit of that history. I spoke at your meeting earlier when you were appointing your committees and was concerned that Mr. Kuntz had been removed from the health board. You need his history on there. I would encourage the board to give a long thought to this and reconsider some assignments. I also want to thank Mr. Mapes. I know that we had numerous discussions, and even though I didn't feel like he necessarily felt the same way I did, he didn't let his personal beliefs and opinions stand in the way of doing what's right for his constituency. He voted no, but I know what swayed his vote is he, as a professional representative for us, asked questions. And when the attorney gave his advice, he voted no, and he did the right thing. Mr. Ginnup, I apologize. I don't mean to go after you personally, but I understand from your own words that you're the one who authored this resolution without legal advice and not necessarily even sharing it with some of the fellow commissioners going into this. They found out through constituents who were hearing about it through the back door. I was further dismayed to hear two different radio interviews where you planted ideas that you're going to come back with another attempt at this. That's bad in itself. But also that you try to discredit the attorney who I as a taxpayer helped pay for and all these people in this room helped pay for. Matt Cross was very professional in the way he represented Plunkett and Cooney that day. And to hear on the radio, planting doubts, well, we'll just ask another attorney. We'll get a different opinion. We're going to come back. And then to throw in there, oh, by the way, we're going to make Emmett a gun sanctuary state, too. We're bringing that up, too. I mean, it just goes on and on. I've always been proud of Emmett County and proud of my representatives. I was mortified at that Department of Health meeting. When breaks happened, I was able to talk to Mr. Mapes. I wasn't able to talk to you. You spent your whole time with the Otsego group. And I think that's terrible. I really do. Going forward, you got a chance to fix this. That's my famous line to Mr. Mapes, that you got a way to fix this. Knock off these resolutions and listen to your attorneys and value the employees you have and respect the constituents that you represent. You can't let your personal feelings and the feelings of a small group of a faction that you're listening to control what's happening to Emmett County. We have a beautiful county, and I'd like to see it stay that way. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Carla Buckminster. Changing the topic a little bit. My remarks are geared more toward NLEA and a couple of things. There, somebody, I think maybe Mr. White brought up about the vagueness. He didn't call it that, but I'll call it vagueness of the report and what NLEA has actually supposedly been doing for Emmett County for $80-some thousand every year. And it's my understanding that once a application for a grant is made, maybe it's different within LEA, and I'd like to hear it if it is, that it has to go through a governmental unit. And once something has hit this floor, it's open to the public. And it should not be a big secret as to who X was. And also the fact that you're talking about working with Bear Creek Township with Atkins Road. That's been dead in the water for several months now, unless they're doing something very secret that we don't know about. But I go to the Bear Creek Township meetings, and I don't think that's true. It's not even on board. And working with Petoskey with the Maple Lock Company, I was at the Petoskey meeting when Petoskey voted to pay $10,000 to NLEA themselves for this year. And so this perplexes me. Who, and I've asked this before, who is actually getting covered for the $84,000 that we as a county are paying if Petoskey has to pay extra to get coverage? And I know Bear Creek Township at one point had to pay extra in order to get coverage for what they wanted. Also, the brownfields at Maple Block, the Brownfield Authority pays Mr. McClellan to do a lot of what's going on here. So it would be interesting to know specifically what are they doing for Michigan Maple Block. And they don't have on their website a list of when their meetings are, any meetings that they're making decisions for our county, or any minutes. We have no idea what's going on unless one of you report, and we don't always get a report like from Mr. Boyer. Neil usually says something, but not very specific.
Carla, time's up. Thank you. Any other public comment?
I just needed to clarify. Tammy Dornberg, I'm a county planning and zoning director. 1515 Atkins Road, known as the Atkins Road Project, is not dead in the water. It was approved by the Emmett County Planning Commission. I believe that there were some challenges that the developer ran into, but that is not an accurate statement. So I just wanted to make you aware that I've been in contact with the developer
representative, and they are trying to proceed. So just
thank
wanted
you.
To clarify.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Good evening, Nikki Devitt, and I can back up Tammy. I actually had a conversation with the developer on 1515 Atkins last week. They are working to resolve some of the issues that they have with that, which were large. Doesn't mean it's always going to go through, but there's still a lot of work being done on that. And I also want to just make the public comment that we are very lucky to have Tammy and Hillary in our planning and zoning. And I want to thank publicly the hard work of our Planning and Zoning Commission for these text amendments on zoning. What our biggest hurdles are many when it comes to housing, but to attack the zoning and start to find ways to make us more attractive to developers in the future is one of those big ones. And they have done that, and I appreciate all of that hard work because it was a lot of work to get done. So thank you for making sure that that moves forward.
Thank you. Yes. Anybody else? Our next Board of Commissioners meeting will be held on April 20th, 2023 at 6 o'clock in this room, the County Board of Commissioners room, 100 Division Street, Petoskey, Michigan. Looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.